In other words, when things get tough, it's like, Lord, I'm trusting, I'm relying on you because you're the one who's going to see me through. You're the one who's with me. You're the one who's going to get me through this. Amen? Hallelujah. Come on, God is good. God is good. God is good. Not everything in my life is always good, but God is good. Well, I'll get a little more enthusiasm maybe a little bit later. But come on, not everything in my life is always good, but God is always good in my life. Right? You know, there's a verse in the Bible that I've kind of used as my dividing line, and it is this: the thief comes not but for to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. So anything that's on the side of killing, stealing, or destroying, I'd mark that up to Satan and his group. But anything that's life and life-giving, I recognize that it's God at work in me and through me and for me. Come on, because He's with me. He's for me. He's not against me. Shh, come on. He's for me. He's with me. He's not against me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you got your Bibles, turn in them to Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to tell you that Jeremiah gave me a book, and it's a secular book written by a couple of authors, but it's on hope. And yet there's so many biblical principles in it that it's amazing. And I haven't read through the whole book, but it just stirred me up. And because there's always been something in me about hope that we haven't, you know, we just kind of go over. There's, you know, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love, right? Faith, hope, and love. Let's get through the hope, because we like the faith part and we like the love part. But what about the hope part? Right? And today I want to start out and talk about hope. Come on. Do you know that the people who commit suicide, the majority of them is because there's no hope. They don't see a way out of their situation. It's useless. It's, you know, and it's hopeless. And most hope that's been lost is because of trauma. Right? Something that's happened in your life. Well, if the same Jesus that came and was anointed to heal the brokenhearted, He must be the same one who can give us hope. Come on. Give us hope. Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to get it and read it. I can quote it, but I'm not going to. Hallelujah. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hoped for. Hoped for. See, hope is not wish. Bible hope is not wish. Because, you know, somebody says, well, listen, I'm going to come over on Thursday. You go, well, I certainly hope so. But your word isn't very good, so I'm not sure whether it's going to happen or not, right? I mean, I hope it happens, but who knows? And most of us walk around with, well, I hope so. But God wants us to become so convinced that He has a hope for us that we're going for that hope. We're trusting in that hope. We're seeing that hope when everything is hopeless. When things don't seem like they're going to work out, when things seem to be against us, He wants us to believe in hope. Right? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. I believe in God, and my evidence of that is the hope that He's put inside of me concerning His Word and concerning His promises. Come on. Come on. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at this. Watch this. Hope is an expectant end. For Christian, hope is our sense of joy. It's where joy comes from, because our hope is in Him. Come on, my hope is in you, Lord, my hope. Come on. It's in you. It's in you. It's in you. It's in you. If God is with you, then you have a source of hope. And I might get ahead of myself and I might not, but watch this. Hope. God wants you to have hope. God wants you to be filled with hope. God wants you to be hope people. Why? Because hope people can do something. Hopeless people won't do anything. What use is there? There's no hope. Why get up in the morning? There's no use. There's no hope. Hopeless people, come on, don't do anything. But hope, watch this, hope is a confidence there's something better in store for me as I go on than even is in now or what's been in the past. Come on, I've got hope, and my hope is in Him. My hope is Him, right? It's not only in Him, it is Him. Glory to God. Hope, hope. Go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. This is so cool. Romans chapter 4. He is so good. Look at verse... we may read more than just the verse that I've quoted here. But verse 18 says this. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. Well, that's really interesting. Contrary to hope. How many have been in situations that seem hopeless? Yes. Come on, there's no hope. There's no hope. It seems like there's no way out. There's no way through. There's no. Come on, you might be there today, right? There's no hope. But contrary to hope, you believe in hope. Why? Because God has said. Because God is with me. We've got to become people who believe in hope. We've got to preach hope. We've got to teach hope to our kids and our grandkids. Let them be hopeful. Come on, it's proven fact that those who have a high hope level achieve more. You can have the same IQ. This was a study that was done. People can have the same IQ, and in school, if they have a high hope tolerance, they'll get an A. Low tolerance, same IQ, will get a B or a C because they don't have hope going forward. I want you to know that you've got a great hope. I don't care what the enemy has done to you. The enemy has put you through. The God of hope, right, will see you to a different place. Yeah, but you don't know my circumstances. Yeah, but you don't know my God. Right? Don't keep your eyes on your circumstances. Get your hope in, your confidence in what God's got for you in the future higher than the circumstances you have right now. Come on. He's my God of hope. I don't see a way. Well, bless God. Contrary to hope, in hope believed. Come on. He's my hope. Watch this now. Let's back up just a little bit. Verse 16 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be issued sure to all seed, not only to those that are of the law, but those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Look at this again. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace. God's grace is upon you. God's grace is for you, but you know how you receive grace? By faith. In other words, Lord, I know I don't deserve this. How many have ever felt, well, God, I blew it again? You know, come strike me dead because all hope is lost because, God, I don't measure up. I'm not as good as this one or I'm not as good as that one, and surely this one is better than me. It's not true. The enemy wants to keep you divided and keep you down and keep you hopeless. Why? Because if you begin to let hope stir up inside of you, you'll have a vision again. You'll have a goal again. You'll say, God, what is it in front of me that you've got for me? If I'm still breathing, if I'm still here on the earth, if I've still got a mission, God, this can't be about me. It's got to be something bigger than me. And God, the God of all hope, will fill my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. Come on. Hope, confident expectation that God has something good in store for me and through me. The through me to me is more important than the for me. In other words, I have a mission that God wants to accomplish through me. For Abraham, he was the father of many nations. Come on, aren't you glad that he was? Because he wasn't just the father of one nation. That would have been the Hebrews and them only. But because of Jesus, it's been to the Gentiles and to the whole world that the Messiah has come. He's my hope. He's my everything. Come on. Hallelujah. Again, verse 17. As is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. What is dead in your life that God wants to call back to life? What is it in your life that is dead because of the circumstances, because of your health, because of many reasons? People have let you down. People have told you no. People, you know, have abused you, whatever. What is it that's dead in you that God wants to bring back to life in you? You've got to begin to see God as the author of the hope that's in store for you. Come on, I want you to be a hopeful people. Why? Because God's got something great for you to do. Amen. How many have watched the news and said, man, my God, this group's against that group and that group's against this group. We're doomed. Come on, it's hopeless. Not for me. Not for me, not for you. Why? Because prayer changes things. I have a hope in Him who is able, well able to do far and exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think. Glory to God. I mean, this afternoon, if we were a mind to, we could walk down to Port Orchard, walk through it and just declare the goodness of God and declare that He is Lord over Port Orchard. It's not this group or that devil or that devil, because God is much greater, and God will call those things that be not as though they were, but you've got to hook up with Him in your faith, and that faith is spurred on by the hope that He's put inside of you. Because God has said, I have hope. Because God has said, I have hope. My body might not be acting right, but God said, by His stripes, I was healed, right? God has said, listen to me, even if my body gives up, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So there is no reason for me to be hopeless. If I'm hopeless, it's because my mind is on the wrong thing. I haven't renewed my mind to the God of hope. I have a hope. His name is Jesus. Come on. What's your circumstances? And what are you saying about your circumstances? Are you saying how difficult it is? Are you saying how impossible it is? Or are you talking about the God who is the God of the impossible? It's not, there was a song for a radio show, I can't remember which one it was, years ago. It's not possible to be impossible. It's not possible to be impossible. Why? Because God is with us. And with God, all things are possible. To who? What? In order to believe, you have to have hope. In order to believe, you have to have hope. You've got to see something in your future that makes you get up in the morning and say, I've got something to do. Watch this. But hope is not wish. Hope must be engaged. You can't be hopeful and sit on your butt and do nothing. You can't be hopeful and allow yourself to stay under the same gloom and doom that you've been sitting in. Right? Hope requires something. Watch this. In the book it says, and I believe this is true, there are three components to hope. The first component is vision. And God said, without vision, my people perish. Without something that they're heading for, my people perish. So if you don't have a vision of something going forward, then you're in trouble. Right? But the second thing for hope is vision, but it's also a pathway to get where you're going. Because if you just have a vision or a goal without a pathway to get there, it's just a wish that will never happen. Right? God puts something inside of you and you just decide, this is where I'm going. So you decide that you're going to walk down a road to get to the place where God has you to go. Now watch this. Well, what happens if you're walking down that road and you run into a roadblock? You get another path because the vision spurs you to keep walking. Well, that didn't work. I'm going to try something else because that's going to work. Now, the third part, and this is your part, that you have to become bulldog determined with, is first of all, you've got to have vision. Second, you've got to have a path that you're going to walk in. And the third thing is you have to have the will to do it. Bless God, I'm going to do it. But they said I couldn't. Bless God, I'm going to do it. God's told me that I'm going to do that, and He's put this before me. And Lord, I'm walking that out. But there's got to be, you know the old saying, where there's a will, there's a way? The strength of your will in getting to what God has put before you will create the path for you to get there. This doesn't work. Well, all right, I'm going to try this. If this doesn't work, I'm going to try this. Because I am not going to allow the hope that God's put inside of me to be empty and not to accomplish the thing that God wants for me. Glory to God. Come on. Just, you know the kid that you can tell him, and there are people that motivate like this. I've known several people. Tell certain people that they can't do something. You can't do that. Yes, I can, bless God. I'm going to do it no matter what. I'm going to find a way. We've got to become like that. We have to become like that. Why? Because we have a vision, and it's so important for us to get to the vision that God has put on side of us, because He's got a work for us to do. And He's the one that calls things that be not as though they are. I can't do that. You've just lost hope. I'm not able to accomplish that. You've just lost hope. It's like, God, you put that inside of me. I can do it. I will do it. I plan to do it, God. I'm going to make it happen. Glory to God, with your help and your direction. Look at verse 19. And not being weak in faith, did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Listen. God told them they were going to have a kid when they were like 80 years old. I don't know about you, I don't want one. Grandkids are great. I don't want more kids. Right? However, if God put that inside of us, He put the seed of that hope inside of us, we let it germinate, God will give us the desire to see that it comes to pass. Because God spoke it, I have a desire for it to happen. Come on. So good. I'm tired of being weak in faith. I said, I'm tired of being weak in faith. You see, but we got to have hope so that faith can be activated. Your faith will never rise above your hope. Let me say that one more time. Your faith will never rise above your hope. And your faith, come on, watch this. Your faith will be seen in your hope. Right? Because faith without works is dead. And works is the pathway that I'm going to get to the place where God wants me to be. There's a generation of kids that have come up and they have no hope because all they do is sit at home and play video games or whatever. And the schools are saying everything's impossible. You can't look, and we've got to be ones that say, look, God's got a plan for you. God's got a future for you. Yeah, you may have been abused. You may have been neglected. You may be abandoned as kids. But don't let that keep you from the God who wants to give you faith to go on. Who wants to give you a hope to go on. Come on. Well, that person did this to me, or that person did this. Well, I'm sorry that that happened to you, and it shouldn't have happened to you, and the devil wants to destroy you. But get up, because God wants to rebuild you. He wants to restart you. He wants to see you kick the devil in the teeth and say, no way are you going to win, because the God of hope is filling me up with a vision, and I'm going for it with all of my heart. And if this doesn't work, I'm going to do this. And if that doesn't work, I'm going to do this, because I refuse to let the GPS that the enemy has put down keep me from the vision that God has for me. Come on, come on. The God of hope, the God of hope. He's a God of hope. Glory to God. Go to chapter 5. chapter 5. And look at verse 4. Well, no, let's go up to verse 3. No, we'll start at 2. Through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. When's the last time you rejoiced in hope? See, you can't rejoice in hope if you've already achieved something. Right? If you've already reached the goal and you rejoice, well, you're not rejoicing in hope. You're rejoicing in the fact that it's already done. Hope is out in the future. But watch this. Somebody that's assured that God's with them and God's for them begins to rejoice before they ever see the end result of what they're hoping for. Come on. Why? Because you got Daddy's word on it. You got Daddy's word on it. When I was growing up, my dad promised me a BB gun for my birthday. I didn't have it, but I knew I had it. Right? I knew I had it. Because why? Dad said. Dad said. And so I rejoiced when he said it, not when I got it. So you got to rejoice in hope because God has said it. God has said it. Either through His Word or speaking it to your heart. God, so I'm going to rejoice in the hope that's in front of me. Yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Watch this now. This is so good. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Yeah. What? Yeah. Hallelujah, I'm going through something. The pressure is tremendous. They're coming to take everything away from me. People are leaving. Hallelujah! Just try to be a pastor. Well, pastor, we feel led to be going somewhere else. Hallelujah! What did I do wrong? Right? I mean, but really, come on, the hope is, God, you've anointed me to preach the gospel. You're bringing people to me to preach the gospel to. Your word is going forth on a continual basis. God, I'm rejoicing in you who's promised me, not in the people who come and go, because they belong to you in the first place, not to me. Right? And God might be moving them on. Some, praise the Lord. Others, you know, you're not so... Praise. But anyway, watch this. This is so good. And not only that, verse 3, we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. If you got to fight for something, right, it's better when you get it. If you got to work for something, come on. And again, I'm just as guilty as anybody else. We want our kids to have more than we have, so we just give them. And you see the result of that is that you got a lot of entitled kids who think you owe them something because they haven't had to work for anything. And so therefore you owe this to me, right? And the reality is no. You should have put them through some tribulation so that they could get some endurance. Right? Come on. Right? Because it's all part of the hope that's out in front of them. If you want something, you got to work for it. Right? Come on. Even in relationships, that jerk that you gave me, but I'm going to persevere. I'm going to press through because, God, you've got something more for me than what I'm... Come on. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. When's the last time you just had a glory fit in the middle of a tribulation? Right? Come on. You should. After today, you should. You're not praising God for what you're going through. You're praising God that God is going through you with it. The 23rd Psalm says, even though, come on, I walk in the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. I don't know what we're going to do. Glory to God! I don't know how we're going to get through this. Glory to God! Why? Because I have hope in the same God who split the Red Sea is for me. He's not against me. The same God, come on, that fed 5,000 with a couple of fish can feed me. The same God that provided for me last year will provide for me this year. My source is not my job. My source is not the government. My source is God Almighty. And it's Him that I hope and I live and I have my being. And it tribulation, man, it's just going to make me stronger. Come on, devil. Bring it on, devil. Right, I'm not believing for tribulation, but when it comes, I know I'm going to be stronger at the end of this. Why? Because I've got hope that at the end of this, I'm going to have victory over the very thing that the enemy meant to kill me with. Talking about hope. Come on. What is your hope? Who is your hope? What's He spoken to you? What's He said? Verse 5 says this. Now hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. Watch this. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God is on the inside of me. You know, hopelessness comes from your head, not your heart. Let me say that one more time. Hopelessness comes from your head and not your heart. It's impossible for you to be hopeless in your heart. Why? Because out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. The God of miracles lives on the inside of you. The God of your answer lives on the inside of you. Hope comes from your heart. Your head might be going, but I don't know how. I don't know how. I don't know how. They told me I couldn't. They said it wouldn't. Come on. Come on, God must be mad at me. Blah, 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 blah. And you just go, no, 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 no. I know that I have hope because the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. And it's been sealed by the Holy Spirit. We've got to become more adept at listening to our hearts. If you ever wonder if you're saved, just get quiet, put your hands over your belly and say, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. And on the inside of you, there will be a peace that comes. There'll be a knowing that comes. Why? Because the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. My hope comes from knowing that I'm a child of God, that He has a plan for me. He has a future. He has a hope. Right? And I'm going to walk in it. I have a confident expectation of what God is doing and what He wants to do. Go to chapter 12 of Romans. Glory to God. I want you to be hopeful today. If you didn't come in here with hope, if you were down, if you were, you know, in the pits, I want to lift you out of that. Because you have a hope. There is a hope for you. You are not hopeless. But you're not helpless either. If you're hopeful, you'll do something. What? Whatever's before you. Whatever puts it. But Romans chapter 12. And look at verse 11. It says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This is not a lazy person that's not doing something about their situation. You might not be able to do anything physically. You may not even be able to do anything, mentally, but you're still fervent because you're diligent. Diligent in what? In serving the Lord. I have this confidence, God, that I've talked to You about it. And Lord, You said that You'd give me wisdom. You'd tell me what to do. Show me what to do. So Lord, my hope is in You, God. I know that You're going to give me a path. But watch this, verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Rejoicing in hope. I will tell you this. If you're not rejoicing, it's a good indicator that your hope level has slipped. Let me say that one more time. If you're not rejoicing, you don't know what I'm going through. Yes, I may not know what you're going through. I may have been through something similar or worse or better. I'm not keeping score. But what I'm saying is the God who is our hope is in you, and He will show you what to do. He will bring you through. Now, others might not get involved with the plan. Well, you got to keep your eyes on God and say, God, if everyone else forsakes me, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to rejoice in hope. Right? If you have nothing else to rejoice in, you need to begin to start rejoicing. What does that look like? Hallelujah! Come on, in the midst of what I'm going through, hallelujah! They just turned off the water. Hallelujah! They just repossessed the car. Hallelujah! Because it's in hope that I'm believing for. Are you with me? Come on. I'll tell you the story. It was so cool. I hadn't been saved very long, and when I first got saved, I was with a group where we did Bible studies all the time. There was a Bible study on Tuesday night in Buckley, and a Bible study on Thursday night in Yelm, and that's just the way we kind of grew up. So we're at this Bible study in Buckley, and there's probably maybe 10 of us, and you know we were young there, young men, you know, in our 20s, and this 20-year-old kid came, and his dad came to see what kind of cult his son was getting involved with, right? And so his dad came, and his dad was sitting there, and we had, you know, we did the three worship songs, and who's got a testimony, let's pray and all that. And so this young man got up, he said, his name was Kevin. He said, Kevin, get up, said, I want to give a testimony. I want to thank God. What for, Kevin? My car died today. So this man, his name was King, actually. King got up and he said, wait a minute. I've heard these other testimonies. I've been okay up till now. But what in the world are you talking about? I want to thank God that my car died. And Kevin, without skipping a beat, said, well, the same God who got me this car will give me another one. And God's always doing things better for me. So I just believe God that even though my car died and I had to walk here, God's got a better thing for me going forward. What was he talking about? He was talking about the hope that he had that was the evidence of the faith that he portrayed. Come on. Come on. Because my hope is in you, Lord. My faith is in you, Lord. I have a vision for a future because, God, you put that and planted that on the inside of me. Nobody in this room is hopeless. Don't meditate on your hopelessness. Begin to rejoice in your hope. Come on. I'm rejoicing in you, Lord. Come on, can you handle a little bit more? Go to chapter 15. Chapter 15. I'm just about through with my introduction. Hallelujah. We have hope. We have hope he'll finish today. Hallelujah. Watch this. Hallelujah. That's why. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and going, that doesn't make sense. Romans chapter 15. I'll get there. Woo! Romans 15:13. Hallelujah. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy in peace, believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, come on. Is that you today? Paul's talking to the Roman church. He said, come on, this is possible for you. Now may the God of hope. Your hope's not in you. Your hope's not in anybody else. Your hope is in God. May the God of hope. Yeah, but you don't understand my situation. Well, let me tell you about God. Yeah, but you don't understand what I'm going through. Let me tell you about God. Because He's the God of hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. See, watch this. Do you want to know if you're in faith and believing? Joy and peace. Joy and peace. When you get to believing, true believing, there'll be joy and peace, not confusion and worry. But you can only get there when you put your hope in, your confidence in, your vision for what God has promised. Did He say He'd meet all of your needs? Then why are you worried about it? Did He say, Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't even worry about where you're going to sleep. Because God who feeds all of the birds and the animals and takes care of much more, He'll take care of you. So at the point that enemy comes to try to put us into frustration and worry, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. But watch how this works. God of hope will give you a vision for how to get through what you're going through, and then you'll start down a path, and in that path, He'll direct you to the place where you're going. But you've got to have the tenacity of faith going, bless God, I don't know how He's going to do it, but I just know that I know that I know that I know that the same God who put the stars in place, the same God who takes care of all of the animals, the same God was going to take care of me. The next time you're worried about your provision, go listen to the birds sing. The next time you're worried about what you're going to wear and the food, or the clothes that you're going to wear, go to the florist shop. Come on. The same God who put the beauty in those, the same God who took care of all of your needs, is the same God that will take care of you. May the God of hope, who's my hope? It's Jesus. Who's my hope? It's Yahweh. Who's my hope? It's Jehovah Rapha. It's Jehovah Shalom. It's, come on, it's Jehovah Jireh. It's, come on, He's the same God. He's my hope. He's my peace. Glory to God. Glory to God. We're going to close there, but I just got to let you know that if you really begin to meditate on who God is and what He's done, do you know that you're just passing through here anyway? Right? I mean, if everything goes wrong in my life and the enemy comes and kills me today, which he won't, he can't. But if he did, I'd be with Jesus. That's my great hope. Right? The great hope that we all share in common is that because Jesus died for my sins, I get His righteousness. And I can stand before the God of hope because Jesus has made me pure and holy. So Paul said, look, it's better for me. It's better for you if I stay around. But it's better for me if I go. Why? Because to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. And you couldn't say that unless you had the hope that it was true. Come on. So I know we've got troubles. I know there's struggles. But start rejoicing when they're coming rather than complaining about them. Saying the same God is with me, has brought me through everything, will bring me through whatever I'm facing right now. Listen, I pray this over you. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit inside of me. I don't want to just have a little hope. I want to abound in hope. Why do I want to abound in hope? Because if I'm abounding, then I can give it to you. If you hang around me, you're going to be more hopeful than when you came in, right? If you hang around me, you're going, man, that guy is so optimistic. Now, I'm not optimistic, I'm hopeful, right? I'm not a pie in the sky, I'm hopeful. Why? Because God, the same God who's brought me this far, is going to keep me going forward. I just got to tell you, there was a day when I got the email. I think it was an email. No, I got a phone call. Pastor Bruce, the church is sold. Praise the Lord. And you got to be out by this certain date. I mean, I'll tell you, the enemy came in and said, and I started talking to God. God, does this mean we're done? Is this over? I mean, it's been a good run. You know, I mean, we've had 25 years. It's been awesome. And you've done many. Is this done? Are you moving me on to something else? Are you moving? But no, there's a peace that came, right? In that hope that he instilled upon me that he wasn't through with me, I couldn't just sit in my office at the church in Wildwood and just go, well, yeah, God will come through. Bless God. You know what I had to do? I had to pack. I had to look for another place. I had to go through different doors. But I was determined, if that door closed, I'd go through this door and that door and that door. Why? Because God said, I'm still with you. I still have a plan for you. Come on. And then Corona happened. Right? We can't meet together. Lord. Lord. But you know what? He sustained us the whole time. He's taking care of us the whole time. And he's going to continue to do it for you. Why? Because he's the God of hope. So quit looking at yourself. Quit looking at your job. Quit looking at your friends. Quit looking at others to try to make you something. And start rejoicing in the God of hope. Amen? Hallelujah! Glory to God. Because God will give you a vision of your future. And it's for good. God will give you a vision. And then you start walking and say, Lord, which road do I go down? A wise man told me this. He said, listen, he said, when I feel like I'm supposed to go in a direction, I don't just stop and do nothing. I start walking. And the Lord will lead me. Sometimes I start walking and it's not the right direction, but I know where I'm supposed to go. So I back up and I go in another direction. But I'm moving. Hope makes you move, not stay still. Come on. Hallelujah. Father, we just come before you. We praise you that you're the God of hope. We thank you, Lord, for the future. I don't care what our age is. I don't care what our circumstances are. I don't care what others have dictated to us that we should be. Lord, we're trusting you. We're believing in you. We're hoping in you, God. And we thank you, Lord, for moving today. Father, I just thank you. There may be some that are watching, or even some here that have never made Jesus the Lord of their lives. And if they spoke to themselves really quietly and they just say, I don't know if I'm right with God or not. But this morning you can know. But like all of us, you must be born again. How do you get born again? You believe in your heart. And you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead. If you'll do that in sincerity, he has already paid the price for you to be saved. Just believe it, say it with your mouth. If you've done that, then you're saved. God loves you. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you'd like to pray about that, come on up. We'll pray with you. If you've never received your prayer language, want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, glory to God. I don't know where I'd be if I didn't speak in tongues all the time, if I didn't have the Holy Spirit working through me. If you want to receive your prayer language, come on up. If you want to be healed, he's the same God that's here to heal you. If I could have the worship team come up, we're just going to close and worship. But those that are watching, thank you for visiting us, and just know that God is with you. If you need anything, give us a call. Jesus loves you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you.